Amen. Praise the Lord. No other name, Jesus. And a special day today. We want to say happy Mother's Day. And we thank the Lord for all of our ladies. You are very special and we love you. We love you. We love you and grateful for you. And we are in Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11, perhaps 11 of the most beautiful verses put together in Scripture. As Paul speaks to us today, let me give you a sneak preview. He takes his own life as an example and speaks about the righteousness of man. The greatest accomplishments of man, the greatest resume a man could put together to submit to the Lord as if he's righteous enough to earn salvation in and of himself. And then he compares the righteousness of man versus the righteousness of God, which he has discovered. And he helps us to see today that there is a huge difference between the two. And that in order for us to spend eternity in a right relationship with the Lord, to have our names written in the book of life, we must have the righteousness of God and not the righteousness of man. So he writes to this young church who's trying to connect the pieces and understand salvation and deepen their understanding of soteriology and the doctrine of salvation. So he writes to them again, speaking about these great truths that have the utmost importance in your life and my life. Listen, there's nothing more important in your life today than what Paul is about to speak to, this issue. Now, he'd already spoken to them, and we've already spoken about this. So he says in verse 1 of chapter 3, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, it's not hard, it's not cumbersome, but yet it is beneficial for you, it is safe. It is well for you to hear and make sure you've got these truths nailed down." So he says to you, it is not hard. He says, "My brethren, I want you to rejoice in the Lord." That's interesting. This is the epistle that some refer to as the epistle of joy or rejoicing, and he certainly uses that term quite frequently. You know, what's the difference between happiness and joy? The Bible makes a distinction between happiness and joy. Some of you are happy today and some of you are not happy today. But according to Scripture, we should all have joy. You see, Paul's writing this as he's in a dark, dirty, smelly jail. He is in prison, he's in chains, and he's telling them to rejoice because the rejoicing is in the Lord. You see, happiness, translated from a word fortuna, where we get the word fortune, has this idea of chance. I might be happy, I might be not be happy. It's depending on the circumstances of my life. If I had a good breakfast, I caught all the green lights going down Capitol Boulevard, everybody's treating me good, mama's happy today, so I'm happy today. You see, happiness is just based on what's going on in your life. And the way the world is, there's going to be a lot of times where you're not happy. It's your life is not going the way you thought it was going to go. It's not going the way it's supposed to go. Something's gone wrong. But wait a second. Here comes joy. And joy is not based on outward circumstances, but by the eternal truths of God's word. It's rooted in sound doctrine. It's rooted in the person of Christ. And so Paul can say, I want you to rejoice in the Lord. Even though they were going through poverty and persecution, he says, rejoice in the Lord. Nothing can steal that away from you. See, rejoicing, there's a confident assurance in the truths of God's word. It is a certain hope that we have. And so we rejoice in the Lord. And Paul writes to them about these things. Now in verse 2, he gives them warnings about things that would try to take that away. Things that are devouring others, dogs, yeah, and those who would deceive. Notice what he says, three warnings in verse 2. He says, beware of the dogs, those who would try to devour you, and beware of evil workers, those who would try to deceive you away from the truths of God's Word. Listen, those still exist today. But if you know the truth will not be taken away from you. You will not be deceived. He says, listen, beware of the devourers, the deceivers, and beware of the mutilation. What does he mean by that? Some of your translations say the concision, the circumcision. You see, there was a group that was going around trying to teach them and put them in bondage to religious rituals. The only way they could obtain some form of righteousness was by participating in religious rituals, and they were unending, and they were not going to bring about joy. It was just enslaving them. And the group called the circumcision. By cutting away the skin, that was one way they would obtain righteousness. And so Paul has a play on words, and he's speaking pretty derogatorily about them. He calls them the mutilators. The only thing they do is they cut the flesh, but they offer you no spiritual benefit. Beware of them. You know, there are those who are trying to put people in religious bondage today, but there's freedom in Christ. Christ came to set us free. So he says, beware of them, for we are the true circumcision. God not cutting away the skin, but the circumcision of the heart to set us free. He's written his laws in our hearts. We are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. That's interesting. Jesus said in John 4:24, God is looking for those who are going to worship him in spirit and in truth. And listen, we gather this morning in truth to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. No pretenses, nothing fake, just genuine, just us, God's people, and the Word of God today. We worship the Lord in spirit and in truth according to what? Not the opinions of men, but the words of God that we look at this morning. And so we worship God in the Spirit, rejoicing in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. Do you know what he means by that? It means my confidence, my hope, my trust is not in human accomplishments. It's not in human righteousness. It's not me trying to be my own Savior and, look, I'm this, and because of that I put confidence. I can stand before God and say, God, look at me. Hey, I have no confidence in the flesh. Now, this opens up an interesting dialogue here. Paul now speaking to them. Paul is going to kind of set forth this idea of, oh, okay, you want to boast in the flesh? Well, let's just suppose I entertain that argument. He says in verse 4, though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he might have confidence, might have a resume of his life achievements, I want you to listen. If you think you have a resume of life achievements that's impressive, Paul says, take a back seat. I'll entertain that conversation with you. If anyone thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I say, I have it all the more. And then he's going to list off his pedigree here, his resume. He says in verse 5, hey, I was circumcised on the eighth day. I kept the law. I'm a law keeper of the stock of Israel. I want you to know that I'm a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Look at my lineage. I want you to know my heritage. I am of the tribe of Benjamin. That's a name-dropping thing in case you're not reading this. He's dropping names. Hey, we were the tribe that was loyal to Judah. Hey, we didn't stray away. We're a Hebrew, and I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. God made promises to me because of who I am. I'm a special person. I'm the apple of God's eye. And concerning the law, hey, I'm a Pharisee. Now, today, you and I think about Pharisees kind of in a way that's not such a positive. Paul was saying, hey, I'm a Pharisee. That was a big deal at that time. Pharisees were respected religious leaders. People were trying to obtain the righteousness of a Pharisee. If only I could be like that guy who prays this way and gives this way and lives this way. These law keepers, and they were striving to be like Pharisees. But Jesus said in Matthew 5:20, he says, hey, listen, unless your righteousness surpasses the righteousness of the Sadducees and Pharisees, you will in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. And the people are astonished. How can that be? I can't even catch them, let alone surpass them. Do you know how righteous these Pharisees are? Paul says, I'm a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. In other words, that which came against what he thought was the truth, he was zealous to go and put down anything that would come against what he thought was true. He was very zealous for God. Concerning the righteousness, this is what we're talking about today. I don't want you to miss this. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, he was blameless, he was perfect. If anybody had hit the mark of doing what God prescribed in the law, Paul says, I did it. I was perfect and blameless. If that was obtaining this righteousness by the law. Check in the box, mission accomplished, until he realized he had been putting things in the wrong category. You know, when we go around and speak to people today and we say, hey, listen, I want you to think about something that has great substance. If you were to die today, do you know for sure that you'd spend eternity with God? And most people say, yeah, I think I'm going to go to heaven. And then we ask the next question, well, if God were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? What do you think you might say? Do you know that more than 90% of the people who respond to that give this works-based human righteousness answer? I've been a deacon. I go to church. I've accomplished these things. I'm a good person. I'm better than the neighbor. I've done all these things. Who's trying to be the Savior, them or God? Them. And they're trying to obtain for themselves human righteousness. Paul said, hey, I was at the top of that list. Don't give me this human righteousness. I was at the top of the list. Listen, if I were to translate that resume into today's vernacular, maybe it would go like this. Maybe it rings home a little bit more. Let me just read to you some of my thoughts here. He says, Paul's resume. Hey, I'm at the top of my class. I gave to charity. I'm a Nobel Peace Prize winner. I'm a coach. I'm a teacher. I'm a Boy Scout leader. I fed the hungry. I built hospitals. I never hurt anyone, but always tried to help everyone. I'm a great husband, a great wife. I'm a great parent. I was the employee of the year. What does your resume look like? And maybe it was something just like this. But what Paul's about to introduce us to is the idea that that's not the righteousness that's required. Notice what he says, very important, in verse 7. He says, but. In other words, everything I just said, change it. He says, but what things were once gained to me, this resume that he had put together, they were once gained to me, but now I have counted them as loss. This idea of counted, I want you to see he's got this ledger where he's keeping track of things. Gain and loss. And now these things that were once considered gain to him, he now realizes, wait a second, they were actually a stumbling block that was preventing me from obtaining true righteousness because I was trusting in them and not in God for my righteousness. And so now he comes to this idea of these things that were once in the gain column, now I have counted them or put them in the loss column for Christ. Verse 9. Verse 8. Yet indeed I also count all things as loss. Everything that was on that resume, I now put in the category of loss for what? Something better. You see, God taught us, even in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 64:6, he says, the best of your righteousness is what? Filthy rags. The best of your righteousness is filthy rags. Hey, if that's the best, I wonder what the worst looks like. Hey, because listen, I was thinking, God, hey, I do this, and I start thinking about all my accomplishments, And God says, you better stop trying to trust those things. They're blocking you from the only righteousness which will allow you enter into the kingdom of heaven. For the excellence of knowing Christ, the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, to whom when I put everything that was gain in the loss category, I suffered loss, the loss of all things. But guess what? I count them as rubbish that I might gain what? You got to see this. It's a visual. All his great accomplishments, all what he was trusting in for righteousness, good person, everything, moral excellence. And he takes it and he puts it in the other category and he says, I count them as rubbish, garbage, or literally a dunghill. Paul, you were really proud of this resume you had at one time. He says, yeah, I was, and I was trusting in it, but I was trusting the wrong thing. And now that I understand, I put it in the category of rubbish or garbage, and I'm trading my garbage for gain. And when he made this move, this switch, to take what his righteousness was offering, put it in the loss category, he gained Christ. Listen, Christ says to each one of us today, I want you to pick up your cross and follow me. What a beautiful offer. The Savior of the world says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I don't want you to trust in your righteousness anymore. He says, if you are willing to lose your life for my sake, then you'll find your life. You see, it's not about us and our righteousness. And when we come to Christ, we put our faith in Christ. By faith, he gives us his righteousness. Now, what are you trusting in today? Is it this righteousness, your resume, or is it his righteousness? Paul says it was from garbage to gain for me. Now, the most important verse of all the verses we're looking at today, I want your eyes to hit on God's word. Verse 9, he says, that I might be found in him. This is the idea of there's a judgment day. There's a day that Christ is going to find me. There's a day of accountability. And I want to be found in him on that day. Paul was looking forward to that day. Listen, there's a lot of important dates, and today is an important date. There's birthdays, and there's anniversaries, and there's Christmas where we celebrate the birth of the Savior. There's a lot of important dates, but the most important day we're looking for is the return of Christ. When we stand before the Lord, are you looking forward to that day? And on that day, Paul says, listen, I want to be found in him. When he comes, I want to be found in him. But watch this, he says, not having my own righteousness. That's what he had been trusting in all his life. I'm a good person. Look at my resume. And there are those of you in this room today who are trying to be your own savior, trusting in your own righteousness. And listen, there are some amazing accomplishments. You might say, hey, I'm a doctor. This is my income. This is my title. I've done so many great things. But I don't want to be found on that day having my own righteousness, which is from the law. But I want to have my righteousness, that which is through faith in Christ alone. The righteousness which is from God. Do you see the vast difference that's being offered today? You want to have your righteousness, or do you want to have God's righteousness? What are you trusting in? If you're trusting in your religion and your titles, you're spiritually bankrupt. This is what God is saying. This is not my opinion. Where is your source of righteousness? Listen, I remember, you've heard my story. Some 20 years ago, I got saved. And I realized, coming from a great family, it's like, man, my parents, my mom, if anybody could get saved by being a good person, I think about my mom today on Mother's Day. She's worshiping the Lord in Richmond, Virginia right now. And I remember going, you know, if they would have known this truth, they would have told their three boys. I'm the middle of three boys. They would have told us, because of the love that we have one for another. They don't know, or they would have said something. So I'm living in D.C. at the time. I'm driving down. We're opening the Bible. My parents are thinking, this guy has lost his rocker. Something's weird. Yeah, Christ changed my life, and now I'm opening the Bible saying, I need you to make sure you hear this truth. This is the most precious, beautiful treasure, and God offers it to us freely, and we've missed it. I need you to know. And as I spoke to my mom and dad about righteousness, not from being a good person, but by faith in Christ, I remember my mom. Now listen, she's the kindest, most generous, gentle, wonderful lady. Listen, if anybody gets saved by being a good person, she's a shoo-in. How can she get past that to think she needs something else? I remember the first conversation, she kind of looked at me like I'm weird. And she even said, are you saying that that I'm going to hell? And I don't even remember saying anything like that. But that's how she, as the Spirit convicted her, she understood she was separated from God because she's not righteous enough. I tell you, a couple years later, watching her trust the Lord as her Savior, being baptized, growing in the faith, she devours the Word of God, been living for the Lord, so wonderfully saved. And she'd tell you, yeah, all those things were nothing. I traded my garbage for gain. And I want to be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, but the righteousness which is through faith in Christ alone. And listen, this is what describes every single religion in the world. There's only two religions in the world today. There's two. There is a faith in Christ, biblical Christianity, where righteousness is of God, freely given, or there's works-based. It might have a mixture of faith involved in it, but there's some type of mankind's righteousness. Look at my resume. Look at my works. And so Paul understood that. Romans 11:6, and he says, listen, if it's by works, it's no longer grace. It's works. And that's not what it is. He would say in Ephesians 2:8-9, for it's by grace that we've been saved through faith, and that's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. Listen, your sin makes you guilty before God. Your sin separates you from God. And the wages of sin is death, and it's not your religion. It's not your works. It's not your moral excellence. That will never save you. But Jesus died on the cross. The wages of sin is death, and He died for you. He took your place. He's the substitute. He shed His blood. He died for you so that you could be completely cleansed. And when you put your faith in Christ alone, you become completely righteous. The righteousness which comes from God. Let me ask you this morning, most important question. Do you have your righteousness? Or do you have the righteousness which comes from Christ? What are you wearing today? The righteousness of God or the righteousness of your own works? There's a stark contrast, and I want each one of us, as we prepare to be found in Him on that day, when you stand before the Lord, that you would say, not having my own righteousness, but having the righteousness which is through faith in Christ alone, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior? The answer to that question is simply this, yes or no. And I want you to be ready for that beautiful day. And so he says in verse 10, he says that I might know Him. You see, everything that Paul had at that point was religion. It was just simply, he could never say, I know God. I don't know Him personally or experientially, but now after he was saved and put his faith in Christ, he's saying, I know God. Personally, I have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Personally and experientially, he says, that I might know Him. And the power of His resurrection and the fellowship to be identified and to partner with. The fellowship of His sufferings being conformed to His death. I'm in Christ all the way in the likeness of His death, His burial, and His resurrection. Verse 11, that by any means I might obtain the resurrection of the dead. He's speaking about the resurrection of life. He knew that he was in Christ. And if Christ rose again and defeated death, then you will too, because you are in Christ if you've trusted Him. And so with this in mind, I ask you just to turn your eyes off of me and then right back into your own life and examine and say, What am I trusting today? Is it the fact that I'm a member at Richland Creek? That doesn't save you. That I'm a deacon or I've done good things? No, that doesn't save you. But if you're here today, and listen, if you've never trusted in Christ alone for your righteousness, I've got great news for you. I'm telling you, this is the best news. Hey, if I said I've got next week's Powerball numbers here or this, I'm telling you, this righteousness from God is infinitely more valuable. It's more valuable and it lasts a lot longer. Have you trusted Christ? Good news is he says it's available to you as a free gift if you'll come to the cross and put your faith in him. There's no reason anyone in this room has to perish. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, they will not perish but have everlasting life. How would you like to have the righteousness of God covering you like a beautiful robe? It's available to you. I want everyone to bow their heads as we just have a time of prayer on a special day. With every head bowed and eye closed, as we reflect on this word, I pray that you'd be genuine before God. And listen, as you search your heart, would you allow and ask God to say, God, if I'm missing this and if I'm trusting in my own righteousness, today would you show me, O God, and help me to respond by faith in your Son. Just in a moment where you're being genuine before God, heart wide open, saying, God, show me. And listen, if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, but you've only trusted your own good works and your moral excellence, regardless of how beautiful or ugly your resume may look, if you would be honest before God and ask him for his righteousness, that you would be found in him, would you say this prayer to reflect that faith that you desire to place in Christ today? Would you be honest before God and ask him to save you today and to give you that righteousness? Would you say, Dear Lord Jesus? Yeah, you say that. Dear Lord Jesus, I admit to you that I'm a sinner. I know that sin has separated me from you. And I believe that the wages of sin is death. And it's not by my religion, not by my morality, or being a good person, or doing good works that saves me. The wages of sin is death, but I believe Jesus died for me. I believe Jesus died for me. He shed his blood. He was buried and rose again on the third day. And I believe he is the way, the truth, and the life. And today, according to your promise, O God, I put my faith in Christ. I receive that free gift of eternal life. Today, by faith, I receive Jesus as my Savior. And according to your promise, you give me your righteousness. And I thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer and for saving me according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.